Mary's showing me these pictures of this guy with the antics of the Bible in his hand. You know that preacher that had all the Bibles? Knowledge, yeah, exactly. Why don't we turn for a little bit tonight to Psalms 1, and most of you already know where we're headed. But like we've been doing some lately, in some services, he's been taking us back to some faith 101 and some knowledge 101. And some of the things that we'll repeat, many of you have heard before, either through myself or probably mostly through Pastor Dave. If you've ever listened to the meditation tapes, what's the name of that big long series, Kathy? No, Pastor Dave. Meditation is imagery. Meditation, imagery, and delivery. Okay. Those are the ones you want to get for sure. They go into great, great depth on what we're just going to touch just for a few moments tonight. Hallelujah. Happy in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wasn't Sunday wonderful? That body ministry that was taking place up here. You know, I just go home sometimes, probably like you, and just for a day or two, I'm just remembering everything, trying to remember it all. Just kind of savoring. Let the Lord kind of... It's so important that... And I've learned this as a minister, and I just kind of pass it along to you, and many of you have already learned it. We usually go out, I mean, I'm talking about generally at the body, go home and eat or go out and eat right after a service on a Sunday or whatever. And that's fine. I mean, everybody's, it's time to eat. You know, it's time to fellowship. But find a place, if you can. I mean, seek for it in your heart. Now, for me as a minister, it's really probably most important. And I'm just teaching you, because there's a lot of other ministers here. If you can, that first 30 minutes or an hour afterwards is vitally important. The time just before the service is vitally important, and the time afterwards is vitally important. If I get my likes, I usually like an hour or so of cool down. And it's not that I'm restless. It's he's still talking. And in that, I can get instruction. I can get warnings about what might be coming as a result of the word that was just said. If you know how to win, you can win all the time. But if you're just like a little bird that runs out and picks up stuff and then runs off and doesn't understand that there's a lot more that the Father wants to give you, there's a maturing process. And because we all have families and we all have schedules and stuff, it's not always possible. We don't live in a perfect kind of scheduled world. But if you have inside your spirit that once you've received the word or once you've given the word, if you can separate yourself at all, it is a good thing. Because you'll find the Father will come and talk to you about everything you just heard or you just said and impregnate it to where it really roots down in there. Because we do know what Jesus said, the enemy comes immediately to steal the word. And if you're a minister, and if you work in miracles, and if you prophesy, it is vitally important that you have a time where you sit, because if you don't get under enough an anointing that you're saturated, then it's your desire to find that place. My greatest desire is to leave every service with Him totally in control. I'm learning. That is a learning process. If your senses are still totally about you as a minister, there are still some of you left that yet needs to find that place of death. And none of us have arrived, but we're finding it. Hallelujah. And that's why I always tell everybody, look, don't ask me anything after service. Now, sometimes I can play that off. I might not have gotten nearly as anointed, and my mind is here with you. But don't ask me, because if you do, I might tell you, yes, the sky is green. Yes, it is. Yes. Yes. And you may tell me stuff, because a lot of times people don't pay attention to what you're saying. I know you think everybody... You ever talk to people and they're talking, you know, you're talking to them and they're, you know, if you were, if you really want to try something, it'll give you a belly laugh sometimes. Now, a sharp person will catch it, but if they're really, really, if their mind is like real busy, you can just be talking to them and they're, yeah, and you can say, Superman flew in my window last night, and then keep talking about and they'll just say, wow, that's neat, that's cool. And they'll just keep, and they don't know what you said. Oh no, now it's all coming out. If you didn't hear that, somebody said, my husband has perfected that. But there's never been a man more alive. His name is Jesus. When you're talking to Him, you've got His full, undivided attention. And so I'm not trying to describe some spooky spiritual place that I'm trying to attain, nor I want you to attain, but I'm telling you that if you can lose yourself in the service as a minister or a person sitting there in the pew or the seat, that's the very best place that you can be. You can lose your senses to where that the reality of the spirit realm becomes far more than all the little things going on around you. That's the place to be. So then when you come out of that, you're not really out of that, because you'll find that there's a train that kind of follows along behind that, even when you come out of the service. And if you can get quiet, and that's not always possible, but if you can get quiet, you'll find out that the inertia of that is still rolling, and that's when He'll talk to you, and you can reminisce about what was just said to you, and the Holy Spirit can impregnate that to you. And also, if there's any warnings, a lot of times we get just slapped side the head and we think, my God, I didn't see that coming. But you know what? The Holy Spirit, if we could have got quiet, would have told us all about it. And we could have just sidestepped it. Because He did say, this is the will of the Father, lead us not into temptation. Now, a lot of times we'll say, man, God, why'd you let that happen? And He'd say, and He's wanting to say, hey, pumpkin, I love you so much. If you'd have got quiet sometime in the last few days, or especially at key moments, I'd have told you all about it. And then once you hear from Him, you've got a bulwark on the inside of you. It can't get in. The offense can't get in. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I didn't plan to say any of that, but he's just prophesying. Hallelujah. So stretch your faith this way, and let's just look at the Word for a few moments. Prophesy the Word. Father, I love you. I thank you for all the well and able-bodied ministers out there. I love to be able to talk like this to your ministers. There are men and there are women of God in here that are called to minister your Word, to teach your Word, to bring forth the intercession that it takes for a revival to be birthed. And you want us so wise. You'll be with us no matter what comes or goes. And no matter how many times you have to lift us up. And God, I have found that you're so faithful to do so. But Lord, you're there to teach us way in advance. Way in advance. We love you, Father. We ask you to just now speak to us according to your Word and guide us according to your wisdom. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Just reminder. This is another reminder night. This is probably not new, and I'm glad it's not new because we don't have to go into the full exercise of it. If we were going to teach a discourse on meditation, we'd have to start really, really. And some of you, I can look out and say maybe you haven't gone through this class before. And I'm talking about class as being having heard Pastor Dave teach this, or myself, or Gary, or Homer, or anybody that would stand up here, or in your car, or home, or truck, listening to these teaching tapes. But Psalms 1 starts out like this, if you've got it in front of you. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We're going to stop right there for a moment, because what he's about to introduce here is that he's telling us that this man is blessed if he doesn't do this. Because where he's saying the blessing's coming from, if a man is having concourse, or if he's digesting or receiving from this first group of information, then he's not, his mind is going to be intertwined. It's going to be interrupted. His spirit's going to be interrupted. And we get, a lot of times when we read this, we get some kind of idea that this is a guy that he's telling you, look, this wouldn't apply to 90% of the people in the church the way we think about it, at least the way I think about it. It's like you're gonna pick up a hitchhiker, or you're gonna have a knowing, willing kind. You're somebody that's wanting to go forward in Christ, and you're gonna have a willing relationship, a friendship relationship with a person that is a scornful person who scorns God, who walks in an ungodly counsel, whose mouth is perverse, who's against God. I mean, right to start with, most of us would just repel so quickly from those kinds of relationships that a lot of times people relate that and say, well, my boss is that way, or my... It's not talking about you being placed in a place where you've got to hear something because it's just part of the environment. This is talking about a relationship that you're willingly having and letting come in to feed you in some way. And it says if you don't do this, if you don't let this feed you, then the next part is going to be true. What is going to begin to feed you is going to be something that is going to cause you to be blessed in all your ways. Now, the fullness of this is concerning this right here. This is this whole subject of Psalms 1, the Word of God, and what you do with it. It still amazes me, and I'm not talking down to any of you. It amazes me how that Christians in the body of Christ still don't recognize after a long period of time as in the church the necessity of how much they need this word. Jesus said, man shall not live. What he fought Satan with was the very word of God. When Satan addressed him in the wilderness and said, if thou be the Son of God. Now he had just come out of the river Jordan, and the first thing that happens as a result of John's baptizing Jesus is this voice comes thundering out of heaven and says, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I mean, you're not just my boy, I am well pleased with you. And he goes from that point on into the wilderness, and the first thing that the enemy tries, I mean, look, you may have a wonderful victory here on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night, but don't think that the thing that you felt so fortified in that he won't come almost immediately to question it. And God had just said, you're my son, I am well pleased with you. And all of everything that must have filled up in Jesus. And the next thing that we see is Satan coming and saying, if you are, then cause this to happen. Jesus was the Logos, the Word incarnate in flesh. And yet, we don't find in those scriptures in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4, we don't find him reasoning with his mind. Reasoning with the devil in his mind. Saying, he did not even say, Satan, you just heard. See, this is what we do. We try to take something that seemingly is spiritual and use it with our mind, and it doesn't work, and devils still continue to contain us and hang around us. That's called religion. It would have been religion for Jesus to say, wait a minute, he's accusing me of not being the Son of God. I know I am. I know I am. Devil, you just heard him say. You just heard God say. Well, you know where the devil goes with that. That wasn't God. That was thunder. That was an imagination. I said that, and I made all the people believe. I was an on and on and on. You can't fight him with the mind. You have to fight him with the shield of faith. Somebody said, well, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Oh, no. We're going to teach on that some more at another time. But the shield of faith is the very Logos that gets inside of you that quenches every fiery dart of the wicked. And if you don't have a lot of that, see, the shield of faith works two ways. It's not only inside of you comforting you, but it is also supposed to act as a shield that quenches all those things that come to your mind. And Jesus did not stand in an experience and say, okay, my last experience was this. He said I was. Everybody heard it. He stepped up and he said, it is written. And spoke what was written over the situation. Hallelujah. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But this is not us choosing some friend of our life like we've got all of these other light relationships. They're all children of light in us. And then all of a sudden we've got this guy or person, or I'm not talking about a perverted relationship. I'm just talking about somebody that we let in our life that we're just totally content with to speak all this perverseness. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you subtly allowing, let's say it like this, the counsel of the world, whether it's radio, TV, religious doctrine that's not baptized in the Holy Ghost, begin to be your subtle counsel, and it's part of it. It ingrains itself into a part. It formats itself into your thinking to where that the Holy Spirit doesn't have the power to interrupt because you're listening. with another part of you. What's the remedy for that? The remedy for that is the meditation in God's Word. It says in verse 2, it says, but His delight is in the what? This right here. The law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. Again, Holy Spirit help me, short version. Meditation, as you've heard Dave say, and I cannot improve on it, I'll try to repeat it. It's not study, although study can help. It's not memorization. Memorization helps. I've seen people that could quote the Word of God but did not know what they were talking about. They quoted it way out of context. They could quote chapter and verse, but they did not know through a revelation knowledge. It's not study, it's not memorization. All those things assist meditation, but meditation, as coined here, goes on. It's contained in the very fact that it says it is something that happens to you night and day. Night and day. What Dave, remember how Dave always talks about it? He says that if you use your intellect, that there is only one part of you at work. When as a spirit, soul, and body being that is able to assimilate and to dive into something, that if you dive into it enough, that the imagery of it will become from seed form into a full-blown tree. It'll emerge out of the very Scriptures. And he uses the example that we love, is that when he talks about, look, if you dive into these Scriptures, you don't have to make it happen. If you dive into it, understanding that the rules of meditation, what would be the, somebody help me out, what would be the probably the first major principle rule of meditation? Nothing out of context. To do that, you have to either read a book, an epistle, in wholes, like the whole book, which the epistles are very easily done like that, or if they're longer books, then the rule of thumb is this: read it enough to find the starting and stopping point of the subject matter. And vow to yourself that by the grace of God, you will take nothing out of context. Eventually, no matter how big the book is, you'll have to completely, if you really, really say, I have confidence in what I understand, you'll eventually have to, no matter how many chapters there are in a book, you'll completely have to read it from front to back. But it's very easy to take an epistle like we use 1 John or Peter or James or those, and just read them at one setting, because it don't take but 15, 20, sometimes 30 minutes. The bigger epistles like 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, those kinds, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you know, all those, Thessalonians, Timothy's, all those are real short. So you can dive into those and read them over and over and over again. Another example that is given is that when you meditate in whole subject matter, you are eliminating the possibility that you're taking a seed and breaking it in half. Subject matters that you can't understand of the natural mind begin to appear as you look at a canvas and you continue to read the five books, the five chapters of 1 John, and you say, I don't understand all this to start with. But just like Gay and most of you said, the first rule of thumb is this, that you take nothing out of context, and understanding that you don't want to take anything out of context, you must read everything as a whole. And what happens in that process is day and night meditation. Because the Holy Spirit begins to equip you. He begins to equip you, bringing and congealing everything together, in the sense that, like, if you're walking into a mall or you're on a street corner in Gatlinburg and you walk up, I can't draw a stick man. I really can't. But it's amazing to me how an artist works. They have that image inside of them. And they're able to put that image on. I saw an image the other day of this guy who was able to go into streets and paint these 3D imageries. And it looks like when you're standing at a distance, he paints these caverns on the street, but looks like it's in the street. And I was like, my God, this can't be trick photography, is it? I mean, they say this is how, I guess this is how it appears. If I drove up to it, I wouldn't drive my car any further. It looks like you'll dive off in there. It's amazing what people can do who's an artist. The Holy Spirit is the artist who takes meditation and he says, okay, look, if I can have some time, I want to impregnate your spirit with the mind of Christ. Because what I desire more than anything else is for you to succeed in this life. And I desire to prepare you for day and night meditation so that I can work on you when you're sleeping and when you're awake. See, the enemy of your soul, I don't know if you understand this or not. A lot of you probably do. He's a formidable foe, but he's also a coward. Because he likes to work on your senses when they seem to be down or you're not expecting things. That's why he'll come at night while you're sleeping. That's why he'll come at times when you're least expecting it. That's why in the early hours of the morning or just before you go to sleep, he'll try to slip thoughts in on you. Come on, am I the only person? I don't know. I guess maybe this is, I'm living in my own little world here. He'll try to slip thoughts in on you that he wants you to go to sleep on. Discouraging thoughts, fearful thoughts, perverted thoughts, what, blah, 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 blah. Come on, we're people. All this stuff. And he'll wake you up in the middle of the night or when you go to the ladies' room or to the men's room. He will try to bring what you last thought to the fulcrum or the forefront of your thought life. He'll wake you up. If you don't realize it, when you get up and you're in the morning, unless your thoughts are contained by the Word of God or you predetermine, that's the time that he'll best try to reel you in. And you won't even know it. But day and night meditation is so wonderful because you can set your spirit on a reel that is by determination. And if you choose, let me tell you this. It is good. It's a wonderful, it's the best kept secret that Satan doesn't want out. Meditate something from the Word of God just before you fall asleep. When you wake up, whatever simple verse it was, try to begin to think of it right to start with. Now, there's no lights on, and I like to sleep with a pitch dark. However, if you got night lights, that's fine. So I gotta find my way. I know everybody knows your bedroom, and you know your way to the bathroom, so you know how to touch the wall. But a lot of times I'm going like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, Candy doesn't hear me because I don't want to wake her up, but I'm thinking, I'm saying, real, you know, no weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Great peace. Where's the door, bathroom door? Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. See, because he can't get in. Because he likes to get in. And he likes to disturb your rest. And he is a coward. He's a formidable foe, but he's a coward because he'll come at those times. But day and night meditation, once you step off into it and allow the Holy Spirit to train you, he wants to be a partner with you all the time, all the time. Hallelujah. So Dave always talks about the parts of us for a simulation. He said if you were a little kid, 2 years old, they dropped you off, parachuted you down in some foreign tribe, you wouldn't have to go to class and them to drill you for a second language. It would just be because if you knew the language you had and you had to start working with these people and eating and your stomach was hungry and you needed food, you'd learn the word for food. You'd learn the word for rest. You'd learn the word for water. You'd learn all these things. I've learned that since I've come to Immokalee. Now, not everybody, not all you guys that can speak a second language, you're smarter than me. But not every person that can speak two languages has a higher IQ than I do. I found that out. It's just when they were formidable, it was around them all the time. And guess what? If they'd had a second or third, if they'd had French or anything else, when their mind was, what is that? Tabula rasa, something. It's your blank. Your mind is real. It's like a clean slate. You can assimilate a lot of stuff. That's how we are in the Spirit. And if you dive off into these, see, if you're talking to Christians, and I don't want to earmark anybody here, but if you're talking to them and you're talking about the Word of God, and they don't ever come up with, they're just looking at you, and they don't ever come up with a scripture, they just want to tell you about an experience. That's good. Experiences are good. But I'm telling you, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you can't get up and go to the potty and say, I thank you for the experience. I thank you. You need to have a scripture that you're rehearsing. It's okay to thank you for the experience too. I do all the time. It's just good practical stuff, isn't it? You need to go to... But look what he says here. This person shall be like a tree. A tree, is that singular? Yes. A tree doesn't say trees. It says tree planted by rivers. That's plural. And in the Hebrew, it's plural. Rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. Now that, we've said this before, and that word season carries with it a perpetual state. You go. I've been in Christian bookstores before, and they'll tell you the seasons. I've seen those pictures, the seasons of your life. Here's summer. Here's spring. Here's autumn. Here's winter. And sometimes Christians say, man, I'm just going through a winter of my life, you know. Just walking through. That's not the Word of God. You got that meditation from somebody who told you a lie. Season here is a perpetual state, and he clarifies that by saying, his leaf also shall not wither. There's no winter with him. And the fruit is supposed to be continually bearing fruit. Continually. You go from one fruit bearing, from one to another fruit bearing. Why? Because you're planted by this one tree. This is amazing. I'm the tree. You're the tree. I'm singular. And this has to be supernatural. But I'm planted. A tree usually can only be planted by one river. But here he says, you're planted by rivers. Rivers, meaning you can be getting from Him by meditation if you're in this Word and letting this Word soak on you, soak in you and assimilate it, then the images out of it, what 1 John is meaning over in chapter 3 congeals with what he's trying to get across to you in chapter 4. And somehow in that, the over and over and over and over, as you read these things and then you go to bed on them, they begin to, the light begins to come on. It begins to dawn on you. But the wonderful thing is this, your spirit is very versatile. It's very I use this word, it's a $10 word, so let me use it again. Ambidextrous. It can switch hands and bat. It's real. Listen, you can read 1 John, and this is what I encourage you. We've said it's best if you're a newbie, if you're a little one. But my God, if you've been here 6 months, you're not a newbie. You're not a new baby. If you pray in tongues, when Candy cooks, she doesn't cook one thing that takes 30 minutes and then sets that aside and say, okay, now I got to start this other thing and it's going to take 45. And when it gets done, I'll set it aside. She's got like 5 or 6 things going on at one time. She got, you know, sorry, vegans or whatever you are. She got meat. Man stuff. Stuff that'll give you umph, boy. I'm living healthy. Don't worry about me. She got some steamed vegetables back here. She got whatever going on, and she's cooking and she's fixing a salad. And all that stuff comes together at one time. He said there'll be rivers. Your spirit is made in the image of God. This is what you need to be doing. You need to have a place in the New Testament where you're getting fed from, where you're reading maybe a book, one book, or the Gospels, and you're reading it over and over and over every day. If you've got, I only got 30 minutes, Pastor, to read. Okay, well then, spend 15 minutes in a Gospel like John. You can read it, 1 John, you can read that. And then get you a river running over here in Psalms or Proverbs. And get you a river running. You can have 4, 5, or 6 rivers. Your spirit is made. It's not made where it just has to. Now, believe me, you need to stay in something and go over it and over and over it. But that doesn't, look, your spirit can walk and chew bubble gum all at the same time. It's really amazing. It can meditate 5 or 6 books. It can have rivers of living water flowing through it. And it's so amazing what these things will happen when they begin to congeal inside of you. You'll have Psalms working, Proverbs working on you, the words of Jesus and the words of Ephesians, and all these things, they won't get mixed up. They'll all be fixed up and they'll all come together and serve up all at the right time. Hallelujah. You'll have rivers. This is what he's talking about. This man meditates day and night. Well, what's the rivers? It's the source that's coming from his meditation. And you can have rivers over here, and you can have rivers over there, and they can be feeding your spirit. And you lay down, and my God, these rivers start coming up. And that's where the dreams start coming, because you got rivers coming from you. Hallelujah. You got rivers. And I like what it says. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall what? Glory be to God. You've got this invisible force field that's over your mind. And then when he does come, you've got something to reckon with him. The enemy. I'm telling you, you need to have a smorgasbord of life running through you. Now you can get it, you can just get into Ephesians and read it. And sometimes if a book is not familiar to you, and that's all the time you've got is just enough time to give to that one, then stay in that one. But just because you read this one doesn't mean you can't go over there. Does it make sense? It'll fill you up. And you'll get all the shadows of the old and all the meat and the wisdom of Solomon and David and the comfort of the Psalms. They'll be comforting you, while all at the same time you'll be getting the words of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, when we get together when this revival takes place, we'll have, because it is really concerns me. Now you guys are advanced, but don't let this bother you, because I've a lot of times people don't, they come to church, they don't even have the Bible. Because if you don't have your Bible, don't worry about it. But a lot of times people will think, yeah, that's cool. That's, you know, 101 for kids getting born again, what we want to do in the future is teach them, look, your existence depends on what you know. And when you get up into the high-tech stuff, when you get to be a high roller, if you can say that, and I'm not talking about mucky-muck stuff like where we're in the cliques and all that. I'm talking about where you're really, 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 really something to be shot at. Because the enemy can't afford for you to stay around. You're making too much money for the kingdom, or you know too much, and your doctrine is too strong. Well, the one would eliminate the other. If your doctrine is strong, you had to stay in this. But listen, your existence depends on this. How much you know and what's running through you. Glory be to God. Well, we took a little different slant tonight, didn't we? Amen. All right. Father, we love you. We glorify you. Blessings and glory and honor. Thanksgiving to Him who sits on the throne. Oh, we love you so much, Jesus. Our coming King, our Lord and our Master. I give you glory. I thank you for these men and women of God who are equipping themselves for day and night meditation. Jesus, you are worthy.